Here we are, week two, the Blitz podcast of the Green Zone. Jamie and I and Britt and Gray getting you set for the Riders against the Tiger Cats for week number two. But first things first, we look back to week one against, of course, the Ottawa Red Blacks in the opener, Thursday Night Football. The Riders open the season with a 31-26 win against Ottawa. It was a bad first drive for the defense, giving up a touchdown, and then they pretty well locked it down until late in the third quarter, fourth quarter. It was a pretty impressive performance by that Riders defense. And then the Riders offense started to click. They got four touchdowns, so much for the narrative that Trevor Harris can't complete drives. He did better than that in that game for the Rough Riders. Britton, before we get into the injury bug that bit the Riders in week one, how do you assess that win over the Ottawa Red Blacks?
Yeah, you talk about the tough first drive for the defense. How about the first drive for the offense? That was terrible. Two and out, then you had the missed snap on the field goal. The hold wasn't there. Ball gets thrown back. Brett Hawther has to punt on the run. It went terribly for the Riders. But overall, to me, as I said on the Green Zone, that was a B performance. I think that team, if we take out the... Sure, they didn't play a complete game. There were stretches that are concerning, but at points for a majority of that game, that was a team that looked like they were going to blow Ottawa, who we expect to be a good team this year, out of the water by 40 at points. And the defense, I felt like they gave up a lot of yards. Rider fans, Corey Mace's defense are going to give up a lot of yards. We have to accept that. As media and everyone, that this team might give up 400 passing yards a game, but as long as they're not giving up touchdowns,
way. Calm down on that.
What I'm saying is they're fine with that as long as they're not giving up touchdowns. It's that bend don't break defense, and I think this defense had three dropped interceptions in that game. They're going to be better at taking advantage of those opportunities. This is a very good team this year. We still expect great things, even though they didn't have a full 60-minute performance in week one.
Yeah, I there's a lot of room to grow for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, but it's week one. That's exactly what you want. You want room to grow. You're not going to be perfect. Nobody was in week one across the Canadian Football League. So now everybody was like, I give it – I'm basing my grade of that game on – where they need to get to, which is an A-plus performance in November. So if I'm grading the Riders based on what the A-plus needs to be in November, that was about a C-minus for me. There's a lot of things going on that you need to clean up, but you win, and you let them back off the mat. You know, a team like that later on in the season, you don't want to. You just want to put them away. And the Riders were unable to do that against the Ottawa Red Blacks. But Ottawa, I remember, is a team that we kind of project to be a lot better. Now, we'll get into their week ahead without Drew Brown, who's been declared out already. He was injured in that game. You could tell he was on the limp. So that we'll see what Ottawa does without Drew Brown for possibly a few weeks. But overall, a good start for the Riders to be 1-0 before these two road trips out east.
Yeah, Corey Mace, his team start out fast. We talk about training camp and everything we like to see from an intensity-wise. This could be the second straight year they start 2-0 if they go into Hamilton and get a win. And like you said, we'll talk about Hamilton a little bit here. But this team, we talked about all the consistency, everyone they brought back. That's the reason you did it, to have this start, to be able to get rolling early, and you don't have as many growing pains as you usually see in the first week. Now, as you mentioned, there were still some. I attribute that mostly to Trevor Harris not playing in the second preseason game at all. But when they worked it off, that, like you mentioned, that really good team.
Yeah, and can the Canadian Football League stop giving Thursday games to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, please? We heard it on the text line. There was talk about the crowd, and it's a Thursday. Kids had school the next day. Saskatchewan is such a big province that travels to games. They draw from so many communities. You would have liked to see a better crowd. And I think if that game would have been on Saturday, you would have seen a lot more seats filled at Mosaic Stadium than, you know, a Thursday opening game for the Rough Riders.
Well, I got good news for you, Jamie. There's no more Thursday night games for the Riders this season. There's just
I don't know if that's good news. I would I like Thursday night. We get to play the rec laws and things like that, but just away games on Thursday work a lot better than home games on Thursday.
Yeah.
For the Rough Riders. Yeah, but that's yet for the Thursday schedule anyways for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. But we have to dig into another big storyline from week one, which is the injury bug. And it was early. You know, KSB, Kian Schaefer-Baker, he's on the limp early in that game. AJ Ouellette taken out for concussion protocol. Roland Milligan taken out for concussion protocol. And then Peyton Collins goes down, the big, bulky, big red, as they call him, on the offensive line. He's got like a knee brace and he's on crutches. And then CJ Avery, he's going to be on the six-game injured list. So not a good night when you lose five starters and four of them when we projected CJ Avery to have a breakout year. Pretty big pieces to the puzzle for the Rough Riders.
Yeah, absolutely. And even Peyton Collins, he looked really good out there in his first CFL start against a pair of great CFL defensive ends. Yeah, CJ Avery, that's going to be tough. But as we said coming into the season, this team has a lot of depth. They have a lot of great pieces, places. AJ Allen, we expect him to maybe take another step forward in how good he has been in terms of special teams. He's going to come in for CJ Avery. There's still some big losses. We don't know as of the recording of this if AJ Ouellette and Roland Milligan Jr. will be cleared from concussion protocol to play. Those are two big losses, though. We'll talk about one guy who got brought in to maybe offset one of those. But injuries, again, this team, I don't know what it has been, if this team did something to ensure they won in 2013, made a deal or something, but it's like, where are all these injuries coming from? It seems like the Riders, every team has injuries, but in terms of starters, the last few seasons, the Riders just feel like they've had to deal with more injuries to starters.
I hope that deal wasn't longer than a decade. We're already 12 years later. That's enough of that. If they made any deals whatsoever for that 2013 Grey Cup, which I think we would have made, to be quite honest, but yeah, enough of that noise.
Yeah.
Because when you look at this team, man, especially the offensive line, like, this is getting ridiculous. Brammer gets injured in practice, so they have to juggle the offensive line. Collins comes in, he gets hurt. You have to juggle the offensive line, and they didn't allow a sack. Like, Edwin Harrison, there should be an assistant coach of the year from last year would be Edwin Harrison. He might win it again this year for a positional coach in the Canadian Football League, how he's been able to get everybody ready. And we're seeing it this week already at practice, right? Mm-hmm. Different guys are playing different positions, and it's all a second team. This guy's in a tackle, and this guy's in a guard, and they're just going through the reps to make sure everybody's ready for any situation. Even Micah Johnson was ready again to go in there with his number 57 jersey. And we saw how good he was last year at being able to do it at guard. So it's interesting to see how things are going to shuffle out when that depth chart. And the big question is the big name they signed is Kadeem Carey. Running back, cut from Toronto, has many roots in the Calgary Stampeders organization, where a lot of Rough Riders have roots in the Calgary Stampeders organization. And we were joking about it. When's the plane going to land for Kadeem Carey? And then when AJ Ouellette got injured, I think I looked into the sky and might have seen his plane coming into Regina late in that game, because they brought in Kadeem Carey pretty quick with AJ Ouellette in concussion protocol.
Yeah, it sounds like when talking to Kadeem Carey, based on what he said, it sounds like the Riders had reached out in kind of that free agency negotiation window just to see if there was interest. You know, like you said, there's a lot of connections with Kadeem Carey, and not just Corey Mace, but Mark Mueller as well. Just a lot. So it makes a lot of sense. He ultimately signed back with Toronto, gets released, and then he said Saskatchewan was the place he wanted to be, just with everyone he knows here, that what they've been building. He was another guy, just like Sean McEwen, when you talk to him on the Green Zone. Mm-hmm. Players from outside the organization are looking at the Riders as if they are building something. They feel like they are getting real close to making that jump to being a championship team. And he was another one of those guys. Signed to the PR. We'll see how long that lasts. We were all a little surprised that he accepted a practice roster spot. But, I mean, hey, if this is a place you want to be, why not? You've won Grey Cups. If you think this is your best opportunity to do it, I understand that. But we'll see how long that lasts. During practice this week, now Thomas Bertrand.
I was going to say, do you want a lunch bet that he's? I'll bet you lunch that he's up, he's on the roster this week.
No, because I think he will end up on the roster as well. I just don't see how you go out and sign Kadeem Carey and just keep him on the practice roster. But I asked Corey Mace. He just said that Kadeem Carey got a lot more carries because Thomas Bertrand Houdon had suffered a groin injury in practice, just giving him a day off. So we'll have to see come the depth chart. I think they will find a way to get him on, and I think that's going to help AJ Ouellette because AJ Ouellette has looked the most dynamic when he hasn't had to have 20 carries, when he can kind of be that spark plug and just to have someone to spell him off a little bit.
Well, you look at it, if they're able to get both guys on, you can run the ball 20 times. Each guy gets 10 carries. Like, how fresh are those legs in the fourth quarter for AJ Ouellette to end a game, right? Mm-hmm. And taking the abuse he takes, because AJ Ouellette, he invites contact. Like, he is a running back who, you know, he wants to run into you as much as he wants to run around you, and that's cost him, right? In week one, gets a hit to the head, and he's in concussion protocol. So that's just the type of runner he is. A lot of the best running backs are that way. But there's wear and tear on both these guys. Kadeem Carey isn't a young guy either. So I can see this working out. But I know there's going to be some Rider fans who are kind of going, what the heck? What does Thomas Bertrand Houdon need to do to get the ball more? Every time he gets the ball, he contributes. In the preseason, we saw it. In the regular season opener, there he was, like, and his stats don't include a 30-yard run because of a questionable holding penalty. Like, he almost popped off 100 yards rushing for Thomas Bertrand Houdon. So that's another thing where you're like, what is this guy who's doing his best and does his best whenever have to do? But you know how coaches work. You know how managers work. They want the sure thing in there. And Kadeem Carey, in their eyes, is probably more of a sure thing than Thomas Bertrand Houdon.
Yeah, Bertrand Houdon just feels like kind of a victim of the way the Riders want to build this roster, right? The CFL has the ratio. You have to figure out where you're putting players, right? They don't have a backup Canadian running back. So it seems like they are intent on starting that American at running back. That seems to be what it is. That's how they're going to roll out. And Thomas Bertrand Houdon is great on special teams for them as well. He's one of their better special teamers, so they like what he does there, which means I think he was running a little bit out of gas at the end of the last game because he was still doing special teams, running back and everything. But he's so valuable in a lot of ways, but it just seems like we have to talk about maybe Americans sometimes, the victims of how the CFL has to work out their rosters. This time it feels like a Canadian's maybe on that side where the team wants to run an American running back.
The thing is, though, if you run on a Canadian running back and he's your ninth Canadian starter, you can have an American backup. Like, that's the one thing that makes, in my head, it's like just like the Riders, I think, in the 2013 Grey Cup, I want to say they had 9 or 10 Canadian starters. They didn't care about the ratio. They were playing the best guy, and a lot of their best guys were Canadian, no matter what. Like, along the offensive line, they had 4 offensive linemen. They had a bundle of Canadian receivers in there, like Canadian defensive linemen with Sholo and those types. Like, it was a roster that was deep with Canadian talent. So I look at that not being too much of an issue, because you can't, he'd be your 8th or 9th Canadian starter. You can have an American backup.
Well, so I'm just trying to figure out why they're not doing it. That's the only thing that makes sense in my head.
Yeah. TBH can stand for to be honest. And to be honest, I want more TBH. Alrighty. Jacob Brammer might be back this week. We mentioned Peyton Collins, but the way they're running at practice, the Canadian, Daniel Johnson, might be their left tackle this week, is the second-year Rider getting a good look there. But when you think about it, he was the guy who came in for Peyton Collins at left tackle. And again, they didn't allow a sack with Lorenzo Maldon and Bryce Carter coming off the edge of the Ottawa Redblacks defensive line.
Yeah, Daniel Johnson looked really good in that game when he came in. Corey May said he had a really good camp. It was really improved. I think he said if You had an award for most improved player from the offseason. It would be Daniel Johnson. And it's looking like he's going to get his chance. And we were, I was chatting with Taylor Shire, the leader post at practice. This might be the first time ever where you have a Canadian tackle and two Americans at guards with a Canadian center. Like, it's not a way that they normally run this team, right? That's not how offensive lines in the CFL are usually built, but it looks like they're giving the Canadian a chance at the left tackle spot here.
Yeah, it'll be with two American guards potentially is just, it's unheard of in the Canadian Football League. Mm-hmm. It just has been with two American guards potentially and a Canadian tackle. Like, we, of course, there have been Canadian tackles. We saw one right here in Saskatchewan in Gene Mikowski. He was one of the best. He probably was the best to ever do it at left tackle in this league as a Saskatchewan product. But I'll be interested to see it. When you look at the Hamilton Tiger Cats, they don't have the pass rush, at least the names that the Ottawa Red Blacks come at you at, like Michael Wakefield in the middle, Cleon Lang, and then Mulden and Carter, as I mentioned. So we'll see what the Tiger Cats bring if it is Daniel Johnson when the depth chart comes out a little bit later this week ahead of the Saturday game against the Tabbies. So we'll see how what happens with Brammer back. They did bring back Braxton Hill. He flashed a few times, actually, in training camp and in preseason games. So that's the linebacker depth, because we barely mentioned C.J. Avery is likely going to the six-game injured list. So we'll see how it rolls, but it looks like another Canadian, A.J. Mm-hmm. Allen. Like, you look at the depth on this team. If they go three Canadian starters at receiver again, with Picton coming in for Kian Schaefer-Baker and Mims coming in, and, of course, you have that backup, or maybe Tommy Neal, and then you have A.J. Allen and the two DBs, it's like, man, they got more than enough versatility in their ratio this week against Hamilton.
Yeah, they do. Like you mentioned, eight starting Canadians. This is a team. We like their depth. We looked at this roster. The starters were great, but we looked behind and it was like, you have starters there. And A.J. Allen, I think, is expected to take another step forward. He looked good in some spot play last year. Like I said, we know what he does on mm-hmm. special teams. Excited to see what he can do if he gets a chance to start for a lengthy period of time here.
Well, what about Joe Robustelli? I can hear the fans calling in already. Put in Joe.
I mean, you have the opportunity to if you want, but Mitch Picton is so solid as a receiver when you put him out there. He's really good. And Joe Robustelli, he did have that shoulder stinger in preseason. Don't know if he's back to 100% or not.
All right. That is a kind of look back at week one. There's a lot of news this week around Ryderville, especially with Kadeem Carey coming in. So let's look ahead to the Hamilton Tiger Cats on Saturday. The Tiger Cats lose their first week against the Calgary Stampeders. I don't think that's a good look for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. That was a sloppy game by both teams, and they allowed 38 against the Calgary Stampeders. Some special teams miscues by Hamilton in that game, too. I like the Riders' chances, but when it's Bo Levi Mitchell and Tim White and Kenny Lawler, look out. That is a team that can pop as soon as you count them out. They can go for 30 or 40 points, I think, with that offense.
Yeah, that offense has all the pieces to be great. It's a matter of if they can be. Like you mentioned, they look sloppy coming out of camp week one. Bo Levi Mitchell targeted Kenny Lawler 13 times, only 6 catches. Did score a touchdown, but you expect a little bit more out of that. Something about this Hamilton team has me a little leery of what to expect if week one they came out and put up that performance. I don't know. Bo Levi Mitchell, I guess, silenced a lot of critics with his play at the end of last season. I think those critics are right back because he didn't look as sharp as you expected from him. I like the Riders' chances as well, just based on who they might be able to get back. As mentioned, A.J. Ouellette, Roland Milligan Jr., we'll see if they clear concussion protocol or not. If they do, that's big. And I just think the Riders are the better overall team right now when you look at these two.
And the one thing about the Hamilton Tiger Cats from week one was the guy I was expecting to have a big breakout year for Hamilton, and that was Greg Bell, their running back. Like, 8 carries for 14 yards, 1.8 yard average. Like, Tim White had 1 carry for 14 yards. And I know they had to play from behind and maybe took him out of the game a little bit, but that run game didn't look too hot out of the early going, and they need to get him the ball a lot more. I expect big things if they get him the ball from Greg Bell. But also in week one, the Rough Riders, Britton, showed they can stop the run because they just locked down the Ottawa. The Red Blacks had to throw for 400 yards because the Riders weren't allowing them to run the ball. Like, there was a lot of second and long there from the Ottawa Red Blacks because the Riders' defensive line. So if that's the Hamilton offensive line only allowing 1.8 yards or only getting 1.8 yards a carry, that's not good against this. The healthiest group for the Rough Riders is their defensive line.
Yeah, that once again, that rushing defense looks like it's going to be scary this season. The Riders are going to force the Hamilton to throw the ball a lot. This is what this team is built to do. Force the other team to throw the ball and allow your defensive backs to go up and make plays in that zone defense. We know Bo likes to throw that ball up there. He's a gunslinger. He takes those chances. That's why I really like the Riders' opportunity this week, just because there's, as I talked to Josh Bell, when you play a quarterback like Bo Levi Mitchell who has a receiver like Kenny Lawler, you know you're not going to be bored. There's opportunities there for players to make plays, and they relish these opportunities.
All righty. So we'll look at the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Their defense has seen some changes, too, for the Hamilton Tiger Cats this year. And they're with the Riders' consistency and in continuity on the offense. Like, that's, I look at advantage Riders all over the field in this one, to be quite honest. Now, that's I'm going to try to pump the brakes a little bit. Because, you know, Hamilton is never really a friendly place to play when you're a Saskatchewan Rough Rider. But I like the matchups this week. It's just a matter of Roland Milligan, if he's playing, and who's lined up against Kenny Lawler and Tim White. Because they're going to get another big dose of, you know, targets like they got in week one from Bo Levi Mitchell.
Yeah, and you don't think the Rider running backs saw what Dedrick Mills did to that team last week, and they're probably ready to maybe get their own hat trick of touchdowns if they get the opportunity?
Probably, I would. If I was the Saskatchewan Rough Rider seeing that film, as Dedrick Mills is another guy I looked at this season as a running back that could pop into, you know, elite status if he wasn't there already. But, you know, when you look at, there's a little bit on the Riders and the Tiger Cats. We'll get to our predictions a little bit later on. Other games last week. Look out. The Nathan Rourke Show is back.
Victory laps for everyone.
All the people that put them on their top 50 list, they're doing, oh my goodness, they held a parade for Nathan Rourke, I'm pretty sure, as Dave Naylor and J.C. Abbott and John Hodge and all the Nathan Rourke fans out there who had him on their, or number one like John Hodge did on his top 50 list. He did have one of these games last year, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. He did it against Ottawa, and back then everybody went, oh, he's back. See, he just needed to break off the rust after a couple of weeks. And the rest of the season, you know,
yeah,
didn't go as well for Nathan Rourke. They're against Winnipeg this week. We'll see what he has for an encore.
Yeah, I'm interested to see Nathan Rourke. Let's be honest, the first half, pretty average. Edmonton was winning that. Second half, it comes out, starts firing. You like to see that. I need to see it happen one more week before I'm going to crown Nathan Rourke as the best quarterback in the CFL again, just because I don't know if that's a product of Nathan Rourke or the Edmonton Elks just doing what they've done over the past few seasons. Now, it's a new coaching staff. There's some turnover. I know Naylor said they went out and signed a bunch of people on defense. That defense should be better. Just because you go out and sign a bunch of people and win free agency doesn't mean it translates into a good product, especially in week one. If Nathan Rourke goes out, has another 300-yard game, 3 touchdowns, even just an interception against what we expect to be still a very good Winnipeg defense, then I'm willing to be like, yeah, okay, he's here. Nathan Rourke does look like he did back in 2022. Let's go. I want Nathan Rourke to succeed. The CFL will be in a better place if Nathan Rourke succeeds.
But I want Nathan Rourke to be a top 50 player. I want him to be. The debate was, should he have been on the top 50 list going into this year based on the last 2 years? That was the debate. It's not like we're anti-Nathan Rourke. We are pro-Nathan Rourke. We just disagreed he should be on the top 50 list. And let's pump the brakes that he's back to super. Well, he is a superstar. He's just not back to super. He is a superstar in the Canadian Football League. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, is he back to elite QB play in the Canadian Football League? Is still yet to be determined.
Yeah, like I said, I'm the same way. But he goes out, does it against Winnipeg. I'm willing to more be like, yeah, okay, here we go. BC's dangerous again.
Okay, 2 weeks? You're going to get 2 weeks?
I can do 2 weeks.
That's for me, that's even a little quick because we haven't seen what the Winnipeg Blue Bombers look like this season. They haven't played a game. So let me see. Who do they have next week? BC Lions. They're at home to Winnipeg, then in Saskatchewan in week four. That's if he does it in Regina, Britain, okay, he's back.
Okay. Though, as Nathan Rourke gets back-to-back against Winnipeg, two different quarterbacks he gets to face, though, right? Week one, week two here, Strevler, and then Kolaros is back.
So we'll get into our picks. Montreal beat the Toronto Argonauts. Nick Arbuckle, Toronto didn't look too hot with their first week defending their Grey Cup. Montreal, I have going to the Grey Cup against the Riders, so no surprise. Davis Alexander has not yet lost as a quarterback in the Canadian Football League, just so you know. And the other game, of course, was the Calgary Stampeders over the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Dedrick Mills show in Cowtown. Is it a quick turnaround in Calgary? Are they for real, Britain? Because based on Nathan Rourke's performance, people should be saying the Calgary Stampeders are Grey Cup contenders.
I'm not willing to go there. Hamilton looked very bad. But, good positive first steps here in week one for Calgary.
By the way, shout out to Craig Dickinson, who schooled the special teams coordinator Hamilton a few times with some of those, like, into-the-wind kicks that Calgary was able to recover and things like that. That's one thing about Craig Dickinson's special teams. They will always be prepared for pretty well any situation you can throw at them as he made his debut with his bro, Dave Dickinson, in Calgary. Other around the CFL news, Britain, is the Canadian Football Hall of Fame announced the inductees for this year as the class of 2025, and the biggest recognizable name around these parts is the legend, Frank McChrystal, going in as a builder. Of course, he sustained one of the top junior teams ever in the Regina Rams, and so many Canadian Football League players came through the Regina Rams program with Frank, and then, of course, saw them and guided them through their transition to university football, and so many CFLers came from that University of Regina program. Frank had a huge impact on, that's why it's the Canadian Football Hall of Fame, not the Canadian Football League Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Frank McChrystal.
Yeah, one of all-time successful coaches, as you mentioned, in junior football, the Rams powerhouse program. A lot of that was the work by Frank McChrystal. And just, as you mentioned, a legend around Regina, right, with everything he's done in the sport.
Yeah, he started coaching in 1984 with that program and won seven Canadian Bowls with the Rams. Took the Rams early on in their university, pretty quickly to a Vanier Cup appearance. So coach of the year in Canadian junior football. He was the coach of the year in U Sport when it was the CIS. So congratulations to Frank McChrystal going into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. Some of the other Canadian Football Hall of Famers, two offensive linemen, Brian Chu, the legend for the Montreal Alouettes, in many of his career. Of course, he had some stellar play as one of the top offensive linemen, won the Most Outstanding Offensive Lineman Award, and was a dominant force on the offensive line. Another offensive lineman from the BC Lions, Javon Olafioye, he's going into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. Almost every year he was in the CFL, he was a Division All-Star, if not a CFL All-Star, as one of the best tackles ever to do it. A couple of defensive backs. Well, Darryl Hall, Calgary Stampeders. It's interesting, Britton. I know some of these guys you wouldn't have watched because you're a little younger than I am. But Darryl Hall, he pretty much might go down as the first Sam linebacker on the way we see it today, as a linebacker who could cover. And now it's like the Sam linebacker, that's all they are. They're pretty well defensive backs. That's what Darryl Hall, he was pretty much the first guy almost to revolutionize that position that was able to drop back into coverage and do so many things. Scott Flagel, a defensive back out of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, you know, 40 interceptions, 60 turnovers with 20 fumble recoveries in his career. And one of the top receivers. Talk about some creativity with touchdown celebrations that came from Jermaine Copeland. those cellies with Nick Lewis and the gang with the Calgary Stampeders are pretty epic. Yeah, so Jermaine Copeland is pretty much the headline name on this class of Canadian Football Hall of Famers.
Yeah, a lot of deserving members, as you mentioned, everyone going in. Congratulations to everyone, as you mentioned. I didn't watch some of these guys, but all great talents and obviously paved the way for where we are at currently in the CFL.
Oh, my goodness. Jermaine Copeland, you look at his career, you know, not many guys have gotten 10,000 yards receiving in the Canadian Football League. He's one of 18 to do it. And one of the other ones to go in is Glenn Johnson. You'll remember Glenn Johnson for one famous call in his reffing and officiating career. Yeah, it was Glenn who announced too many men on the field at the 2009 Grey Cup. That was Glenn. But he was a great official. Of course, he served in the league office. He was on the green zone a bunch when they made rule changes. A great guy. You know, he had to call that penalty. You know, there was
too many men. They counted.
There was too many men. He had to call it. It was legit. But he served in four Grey Cups, and he was the head official in four, but he actually reffed in 11 Grey Cups in different roles as well. Glenn Johnson had a great career. And also they named, of course, the Canadian Football Hall of Fame media wing as well today. Two Winnipeg legends, Paul Friesen and Judy Owen, will be going and being inducted Grey Cup week in Winnipeg into the media wing. Freezer is one of the best. He had the legendary back and forth with Mike Kelly that I still play, as the rumor was he might have had somebody spying on the Hamilton Tiger Cats practice. Did Mike Kelly, and Paul Friesen was the one who got Mike Kelly's infamous handled internally, not talking about it, scrum. That was pretty much Freezer. And Judy Owen has been around a long, long time. Came in as an assistant senior city editor in 1991. Started covering there, started covering Grey Cups as well. Started her sports reporting, of course, in 97. She was the beat writer for the Bombers. So she'll be the second female in the media wing of the Canadian Football Hall of Fame after, of course, Vicki Hall was inducted 2 years ago. So congratulations to them. Some of the great people on the beat, so to speak, in the Canadian Football League.
Yeah, I had a chance to meet them while I was out in Winnipeg. Of course, been covering the Riders when they've made it to those West Finals out there. Great people, looking forward, obviously well-deserved, and looking forward to maybe seeing them again at some point this year if the Bombers and Riders meet. Though I don't have the Bombers in the playoffs in my standings, so we'll see.
I think they'll pay the Riders a visit for the West Final this year, maybe. We'll see how it goes. All righty, but a congratulations to everybody at the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. Okay, is it time for the picks already, Britton? Should we get to this week in the Canadian Football League with our predictions? We both went 3-1 because Britton copied my homework last week.
I had a real tough time picking the Stamps. Was more than anything. Everyone else is just... the consistency, and they were the better teams. About almost 4-0.
Almost 4-0. Okay, yeah. So this week in the Canadian Football League, it is the BC Lions Thursday night football against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. As Nathan Rourke comes into Winnipeg against Chris Streveler, because Zach Collaros didn't check his emails or answer text messages from the Canadian Doping Agency. So he got that 2-game suspension, but it was reduced to 1 game because they felt that they probably could have done a better job tracking him down to do a drug test this offseason. They said, yeah, that's partially on us as it is on Zach. So it's a 1-game suspension. I'm going to go with the BC Lions just based on that, that it's not Zach Collaros at quarterback. I know the record. The team that has the first week bye is 6-2 since 2016. They are 6-2. So, but I'm going with the BC Lions because it is Streveler at quarterback.
Yeah.
What do you think?
This one's such a toss-up for me, because I do think that Winnipeg, with the bye week, with the fact that I think they're going to be a heavy dose of Brady Oliveira because Chris Streveler is the quarterback, but Chris Streveler is the quarterback, and that really makes me not want to pick Winnipeg if this gets out of hand. I think BC pulls it off, but I think it's going to be very low scoring. I think The key to win for Winnipeg is a grinded-out game with Brady Oliveira. Keep it on the ground as much as possible with Chris Streveler as well. But I think BC, at the end of the game, Nathan Rourke does enough to get maybe a game-winning field goal at the end.
The next game up is Montreal at Ottawa. No Drew Brown. I'm sorry. I got to go with the Alouettes. Sorry, not sorry. Because I think, without Drew Brown, that's going to be a difficult spot to be. Though the game is in Ottawa, but I'm going to take another road team. After all the home teams won in week number one, I'm taking two roadies off the start with the Montreal Alouettes.
If Drew Brown was playing, I was going to pick Ottawa. But with the fact that Schiltz and how good that Montreal defense is, it's not like it's a cross-country travel. It's a tough place to go, but Montreal has to travel a long ways. So I think Montreal pulls it off. Well, if Drew Brown was playing, I'd like Ottawa's chances of winning.
Yeah. The Calgary Stampeders are in Toronto against the Argonauts. The Argos didn't look too hot in week number one, but I still think that 38 points was probably a little bit high for what I expect the Calgary Stampeders to do. I think the Argos have a bounce back at home this week, and they win. I'm going Toronto with not a lot of confidence.
It's still Nick Arbuckle at quarterback for the Argonauts, so I'm taking Calgary to go in, start the season 2-0, as people might not have expected, but Vernon Adams Jr. at points once again looked like the VA that was playing for most of last season in BC. I think they find a way to win in Toronto. It's a little bit of a travel, sure, but Nick Arbuckle did nothing to instill any confidence. He'll be able to do too much until Chad Kelly gets back.
All righty, and that leaves us with the final. It's the final game of the week, by the way. It is the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Hamilton Tiger Cats. By the way, don't miss our watch party. It's at Acre 21 location, Boston Pizza, for the pre- and post-game show, and we'll watch the game there. The Oilers game will be on as well as they take on the Panthers. That's Saturday. The pregame show starts at 3 o'clock live from Boston Pizza, Acre 21 in Regina. And then the game starts at 5. The hockey game starts just past 6 o'clock. So we'll have it all for you live on location with a watch party. So join us there on Saturday when the Saskatchewan Rough Riders go into Hamilton and beat the Tiger Cats, is my prediction this week. The CFL predictors were unanimous as well, going with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders over the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Because of the impressive defensive performance, I think, as well as Hamilton didn't look too hot in week number one. So a 2-0 start for the Rough Riders. I'll give my score after Britton tells us he's also picking the Riders.
Yeah, I'm picking the Riders. No surprise there. They're just overall the better team. I think it's not going to be that close. I had said 28-21 earlier this week. I think it's going to be 28-15. I just don't think that this one's going to be close.
28-15. I'm going to go 32-20. That's where I'm going to go with this one. 32-20 for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in Hamilton. I still think this offense is going to – Sam Emilis is probably going to have another 150 yards. Like this guy, like let's be honest. We should have talked to him about him earlier. I know you were ticked off he wasn't on the top 50 list. I'm pretty sure he's going to be on the top. Like, knock on wood. I have a wood table here. Knock on wood that nothing happens to him health-wise. But Sam Emilis is fit for over 1,200 yards, maybe 1,500 yard season the way he can play. He is so good, so strong, and so fast.
Yeah, he's a top, not just Canadian receiver in the league, he's a top receiver in the league. Though if I was making a prediction, I think Keyshawn Johnson's the receiver this week who gets over 100 yards. I think him and Sam Emilis are both going to kind of alternate weeks where they go off, and then Dante Myers will also get his own as well because he's another guy who maybe we haven't talked about enough.
Why can't they both get 100 yards?
Sure, why not? They can both do it. All three of them can do it this week. They might do it against the Hamilton defense.
They might be able to do that, yes. All righty. So, of course, the pregame show begins at 3 o'clock on Saturday with the Green Zone. Of course, Britton has you covered online, on social as well throughout every single week of this Canadian Football League season. And, yeah, again, live, Acre 21, Boston Pizzas, where you can find our watch party with the Green Zone. We have the Riders starting the season 2-0. And, of course, you can like, subscribe, share, all that fun stuff to share the Green Zone, the Blitz podcast. We'll be back next week to preview the Week 3 action in the Canadian Football League as the Riders stay out east and take on the Toronto Argonauts. Until then, be safe, take care. And we'll see you on the radio.